Welcome to the Live Better podcast, brought to you by Centric Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for empowering financial advice. I'm your host and Centric social media and marketing coordinator, Emma Baines, and together we'll embark on a journey toward a brighter financial future. In each episode, we'll dive deep into the topics that matter most to you, whether it's saving for a dream vacation, mastering the art of budgeting, or ways to improve your overall well-being in general. Our goal is simple: to help you live better by providing valuable insight and practical strategies. Get ready to be inspired as we feature guests who share their expertise, real-life stories, and experiences. From industry professionals to financial gurus, we'll bring you a wealth of knowledge to guide you on your financial journey. Join us every month as we explore ways to save, invest, and plan for the future, all while living a life you love. Get ready to live better with Centric Federal Credit Union. Subscribe today so you never miss an episode. So today we are joined by Laurencia Jenkins, who is a family counselor at Finding Solace here in West Monroe. Before we jump into this digital detox topic, can you just tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do at Finding Solace?
Definitely. So I've been doing therapy for about 6 years now. 6 years, couple days. I work with individuals, children, families, couples. I tell people, like, the dog, if, like, anyone who needs it. But, yeah, that's my passion, is just family systems, helping you through whether it's parent-child issues. I love women's empowerment, things of that nature. So pretty much all over.
That's awesome. So do you work a lot with, like, the teenage group?
Yes.
So I bet that's interesting.
Yes, and that's one of my passions, because I think as a teen, having that voice, having that understanding is so vital. So to have an outlet, even if it's the therapist, means everything.
Right. Okay. Well, that's awesome. So jumping right into technology, it's clearly addictive.
Yes.
It has advanced a lot over the years. How has technology evolved over time? And do you think that excessive screen time has negative effects on sleep, well-being, productivity, things like that?
Yeah. Definitely. Technology in general, I know for me, I remember when those computers came out and it was like the black screen with the green letters, like the first ever Apple computer, till now where you have, you know, AI technology. I was the MySpace era, so it was like everybody was on MySpace and AOL chat, and we thought we were doing something. But now it's so much where, you know, going live and making connections, whether it's through gaming, through social media, I think it's evolved tremendously to where some people, you know, that's their outlet. That's their way of life. And so I think we went from having chat rooms here and there to now the internet is almost the way of the world.
It is. And it's kind of like its own world.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of separate, but also still connected to the real world. I don't know. It's very... it's very odd because I was actually a high school teacher for 6 years.
Yes.
And so I've worked a lot with teenagers as well. We did a project one time where I had the kids pull out their phones because I taught math. And we all looked at our screen times. And we did a project based on that information. And so it was, it blew my mind.
Yes.
Okay, so I think the highest of all of my students that year had an average screen time of 18 hours per day.
Oh, wow.
And I remember asking her, like, when do you sleep?
When do you eat? What do you do?
And she was like, well, I sleep in here in my class. But, yeah, I mean, just seeing these numbers, it was outrageous. And I don't see how you can balance daily life well when you spend 12, 15, 18 hours a day, on the phone. So do you think that technology has taken the place of simple daily life activities?
I think so. I think to a certain aspect, especially when the pandemic hit, it changed everything. But even over time, you know, from connections to workouts where some people was like, hey, I can pull it up online. I can do it at home. It's efficient. But I think it's replaced, you know, those activities where you would go grocery shopping and spend your time. Now it's like, okay. Apples, oranges, grocery pickup, it's done.
Yeah, like we literally don't even have to go to the grocery store
literally.
If we don't want
literally.
To. It's insane. And I think about it, I have two small children.
Yes.
And they're not allowed to have phones. They don't have iPads, which is just a personal choice for us. Yeah. But my son does enjoy playing video games. And it's not social media, but it is still technology. And I look at him sometimes and I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. we have to go outside. Like, we need to go do something yes. else, you know, because it's just so easy, especially for young children and teens
yes.
whose minds aren't fully developed, to just be drawn mm-hmm. into that. And literally they could do it all day.
Yes,
It's insane. So, talking about mental health mm-hmm. and this technology, how do you think that this advanced amount of technology yeah. that we have at our fingertips yes. has affected mental health?
I think on so many spectrums, right, as far as self-esteem or just connections in general. You mm-hmm. know, the Instagram era, filters came out, yeah. things of that nature. So just really, I think the internet allowed people to tap into seeing others' lives and what that looks like. So I think even mental health wise, we may see something, a celebrity, an influencer, and it may feel like you're being left out or, hey, mm-hmm. you know, I want to look this way. What are they doing? How can I get to that? I think a lot of times it could affect how you perceived yourself.
I agree.
And just connections overall of, you know, some people longing for connections, but still struggling to make connections even within the internet.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, it's so easy to get pulled into,
yeah.
well, they look like everything mm-hmm. is so perfect on social yeah. media. Like, I must be doing something wrong.
Exactly.
And I feel like, especially in women, it has really taken mm-hmm. a toll on mental health and feeling inadequate for mm-hmm. really no reason. Because yeah. I tell people all the time, like, you have to remember when you're on social media that you're looking at a highlight reel.
Exactly.
I mean, this is not everyday life. Yeah. Like, they have struggles just like everybody else, but we don't put those on social
right.
media.
We never see it.
Exactly, because yeah. why would you do that?
Exactly.
And, yeah, I think it's definitely taken a toll on mental health for sure. How have you seen social media play a role in fostering feelings of inadequacy and, mm-hmm. and low self-esteem, not just in women like we just said, but yeah. even in teenagers?
All over. I think as we were just speaking, like, even one thing that I thought of was just feelings of anxiety and depression, mm-hmm. right? Of, like, that inadequacy of I'm not enough because of what I've seen or what's been depicted. So does it then create that pressure to perform? Mm-hmm. That's anxiety.
Exactly.
Things of that nature or depression when I feel, you know, inadequate and those feelings begin to kick in. And I think those teenage years, for me, it's like the wonder years, those mm-hmm. precious years where we're like, who am I?
Yeah.
You know, I want to figure out who I am, what makes me mold my life as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And with social media, so many distractions, so many different depictions that you do see a lot of teens just really trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I will say, I think our generation was pretty much the first to have social media.
Yes, yes.
But we didn't have it from the time we were babies. Mm-mm. Like, I wasn't 6 months old yeah. in front of an iPad, you know? And the students that I did teach when I taught,
mm-hmm.
they had it their whole entire lives.
Yeah.
They don't know a time without a screen or a phone. And, you know, my kids are in elementary right now, and a bunch of their friends already have phones and TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And I'm like, you are 8.
Right.
What is going
like
on?
Like, we're coloring.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And, but I will say, the teenagers that I taught were so drastically different mm-hmm. from the way I was and yeah. my friends were when we were teenagers, because we just didn't have the same things at our fingertips
yeah.
that they did. And I feel like it has caused teenagers now to withdraw a lot
mm.
and, you know, not be as comfortable socially
yeah.
because they're most comfortable in social media.
Exactly.
And the two are not the same. Yeah.
It's totally different.
Yeah.
And it's that escape for them as well. like you said, I don't know what to say. So if I shut down, it's kind of an outlet, but it's that detrimental outlet
exactly.
when it becomes too much.
Yes, for sure. They feel like they need like a perfect online persona. And then mm-hmm. when they don't have that,
yeah.
you know, here yeah. comes the lower self-esteem and mm-hmm. the what do I need to change about myself
yeah.
mentality. How can we acknowledge and maneuver through the potential pressure to be perfect on the internet, like so many people feel the need to be?
Yeah. I think one thing that comes to mind for me is, and this could be a hard approach, but just the community of it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's through family, friends, like constantly being present for one another.
Yeah.
That motivator, reminding each other, regardless of what you see online, you know, you're beautiful, you're this, you're that. Like, just I think that constant drive is what's needed, that reassurance basically of,
right.
you know, you're adequate enough. You have what you need in the moment. You're a teen. So there's
mm-hmm.
so many years where you can build that, and it doesn't have to be that instant achievement that, you know, the internet may depict.
Right. And I think too, it's important especially for parents and guardians, mm-hmm. to make sure they keep the lines of communication with these, yes. teenagers open, so they're not completely shut off with their phone, mm-hmm. for the majority of the day. You know, make sure there's, exactly. still human interaction. Make sure that, yes. you're still spending family time.
For sure, for
and,
sure.
And making time for things in this rat race that we all live in when, yes. it can be hard. You know, I think it's important that we make sure, mm-hmm. that we do that.
Oh, for sure. Especially with that non-judgmental stance, too, mm-hmm. of like, my door is open if you want to, yeah. talk about anything, and, yes. you won't be judged for it.
Right. Yeah, completely. So if you're not on your phone constantly, and, mm-hmm. I've heard people say this before, I feel like I'm missing out.
Yes.
Like, I feel like I don't know what's going, mm-hmm. on if I'm not on social media. Like, the world's kind of moving on without me.
Yeah.
what are some ways to kind of stay informed without completely having to rely on social media?
Yeah. I think ways to stay informed, which, if you're in the community, I know our community now is doing a great job with, hey, this is a list of events. Mm-hmm. These are things that you can attend. Things of that nature, which some of those things I think require social media, but they, I think it comes with limiting yourself, right?
Right?
Of like, maybe I'll log on, see if, you know, the city of Monroe, West Monroe said, hey, this is what we're doing in June, mm-hmm. and I just jot it down. Or the news, even though I know for some people the news brings that feeling of, oh, yeah. my gosh, it's everything at one time.
Yeah.
So I think it's just really being intentional of what you're searching for.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's, hey, I want more community events, do you kind of stop by a local place, chime in, hey, what do you guys have available?
Right.
If it's something weather related, do you just limit yourself of 30 minutes in the morning, I'll see what the weather's looking like, and then I'll log off.
Mm-hmm. And I think that goes back to just, you know, you've got to have discipline.
Exactly.
And you've got to have,
yeah.
lines for yourself,
mm-hmm.
that you say, okay, I'm not willing to cross this line. Like, on this week, I'm not going to do social media at all,
yeah.
maybe. Or, you know, I'm going to limit myself,
yes.
to an hour a day.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go over that, I'm going to, you know, it takes self-control, but,
yeah.
I'm not going to do it anymore after,
exactly.
that. You know, I think it just takes, and going back to teenagers, it's hard for them to do that for,
mm-hmm.
themselves. So that's kind of where they need somebody in their lives who's willing to help them do that.
Yeah, the structure of like,
yes.
it's okay, you know.
Yeah. Do you have any strategies for establishing like healthy limits on screen time and,
mm-hmm.
Online activities?
Usually if it's like kid and parent, I almost kind of introduce them to what screen time limits look like, because,
mm-hmm.
you do, for certain ages, if it's age appropriate, you can have where you set up like 10 minutes on Instagram or 30 minutes on Facebook, 30 minutes on TikTok. So I think just really being intentional and strategic of how you go about setting those times and that discipline of like,
mm-hmm.
hey, I'm giving you an hour, use it wisely, or whatever,
right.
it might be. I think also just having conversations of what screen time serves even for a teen. Is,
mm-hmm.
it, this is my only escape and I need that? Just really exploring their rationale. So for some people it may be, well, this is my self-care. So having conversations of what can I do to limit that screen time and help you achieve that satisfaction in other places.
Right, exactly. Like, let's explore new things. Let's,
mm-hmm.
try something new that might bring you the same satisfaction.
Yes.
And I know, too, with most phones,
mm-hmm.
you know, the parent can go in and set, like, okay, after whatever,
yeah.
o'clock,
yeah.
nothing on your phone's going to work,
it's
anymore.
It's done, yeah.
So this is how long that you get.
Yes.
Because I know a lot of my former students would tell me, you know, they just sit up and scroll TikTok in their bed till 3.
Mm.
Just because they couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
And my thought is, well, I bet that you couldn't sleep because,
yeah.
you have a bright,
it's
phone
a rabbit
in your
hole.
Face.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's, you know. So, yeah, I think the screen time is super important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for adults, too, let's face,
oh,
it.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of adults can stay on their phone all day, too,
mm-hmm.
if they didn't have to go to work or if they didn't have responsibility. So I think it goes for everybody.
Oh, for sure. I'm guilty of that, like, TikTok,
yeah.
wormhole where I'm like, it's been 5 hours.
Yes, like, it goes by so,
mm-hmm.
fast and you don't even realize that you've been there with your face in your phone,
yes,
for,
yes.
however long. It's, that's crazy. What do you think about creating tech-free zones? Maybe, like, an unplugged time in your house.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I like that idea. I think it implements sort of a routine and an expectation of,
mm-hmm.
like, this is our downtime. It's a tech-free zone. So I think it just really, it's probably different for each family or each,
right.
teen. But I think it could be beneficial. And it could also be used to the family's advantage, right, of if this is our tech-free zone, are we using this time to be quiet or game night, conversation, someone bring up something that you that's bothering you, that's concerning you. So I think just setting the foundation of what could this, how could this be beneficial? Because a lot of times as a kid, if I heard tech-free, I'm going to freak out of like so you're taking my phone away? And what are we going to do after that?
Yeah.
So I think setting that and just letting them know, hey, it's a creative hour where you can still get what you need just without your technology.
And I think, like you said, it's different for every family. I know one of the ways that we spend time together in my house, my husband and our two kids, is we pick a TV show.
Yes.
And we watch an episode or two together every night that we can. And it's not like a rule. I mean, my kids don't have phones. It's not like a rule that we won't look at our phone during the show. But if we do, our kids are like, Mommy, Daddy, put your phone down. Let's watch the show.
Time.
You know,
yes.
like, that's our time.
Yes.
And, you know, like I said, that looks different for everybody. It could be at dinner. Like, don't bring your phone into the kitchen.
Right.
You know, let's eat and talk, you know. And that's kind of what we do is we just pick out a show together. And
I love that.
And
yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's different for everybody. But I think it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, it's easy for me right now because my kids don't even have a phone.
Right.
And they stay on top of me. Like, Mommy, don't get on your phone right now.
Yes, I love that, though, because they're like, this is our routine.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Don't mess it up. So how can we teach this next generation to be intentional about the way that they use technology?
Yes. I think exactly what you said. Like, I love even using just how you've described your family as an example. It's just accountability, setting expectations before it spirals. And I know a lot of us are all in deep with technology right now. So I think just allowing them to realize that there's outlets, there's other options, or even if it takes a redirection of it's okay. Like, how about today we try the tech-free zone for 30 minutes and we work our way up. So I think really just setting foundation for what life could look like without that full-on attachment to the technology.
Right. And maybe kind of start to change your mindset a little bit and think, okay, I am going to get on Instagram or TikTok right now, but I'm not going to allow myself to lose myself in this and
in
sit here
all.
For 3 hours. Like, I'm just going to kind of see what's going on and have the self-discipline to not do it for 3 hours. You
exactly.
know?
Yeah. Kind of limiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it takes guidance, too. Like, if we do that at home, our kids are going to do it.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, we have to model the behavior that we want them to have also. So if I can scroll TikTok for 5 hours on my couch, I can't expect my kids to not do the same thing. I mean, it takes self-discipline as
for
whole,
sure.
the whole family. Like, it's got to be a group effort, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's universal because, even as an adult, like, for me, TikTok, Instagram, really having to, I looked at my screen time. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, how did I have this much
time? I don't have mine turned on.
It's like, I'm just not going to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get you.
So we know it's important to nurture real-life relationships and face-to-face interactions. Do you have tips for fostering deeper connections with, like, friends, family, colleagues, other students at school, and just community in general beyond the digital?
Yeah. I love meetups or just networking events in general. Like, I'm that person that will just, like, show up and talk to anyone. But I think more opportunities, which both Monroe, West Monroe, they've been doing an awesome job with setting things up. So I think if we had even more teen-related activities, there's a lot of groups that are open or book clubs, things that tailor to whatever teens are interested in. I think just really allowing them to foster connections, and even as adults, maybe leading by example of, hey, I heard about this group, do you need me to go with you? Or let's look into what you're interested in. So really just introducing them to life beyond technology and showing them that it's possible.
And I agree, and I think that's why sports and school activities can be so beneficial.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in the band, well, you're going to devote time to that every Friday night at a game and all during the
practice
week.
Practice week,
Same with football, you know, dance, tennis, whatever it may be. Those things give these kids a chance to be with each other without a phone.
Exactly.
In a sport or in some kind of an activity where they're having to work together to achieve a goal. And I think that is just
awesome.
One of the best things, especially today with the phones and the technology that we have. You know, it's funny, a friend of our, mine and my husband's, his younger brother, very, very early 20s, and we've talked about before, like, why don't you have a girlfriend, you know? Like, and he's like, well, I've talked to this one girl, and And we're like, well, where'd y'all go? They're like, well, we don't go anywhere. Like, we just talk on Snapchat.
Oh.
And I'm like, but yeah. Take her somewhere.
Do something.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, y'all go out together face to face. And that age is just really not comfortable with that.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't do it like we did when we were, you know, late teens, early 20s.
Right. I don't think we had a choice. It was like, we're going to the mall and the movies.
Yep. And who we see there is who we're going to hang out with.
Literally. It's like, what are you doing at Applebee's? Like, okay,
exactly.
Let's sit together.
Yeah. They're less comfortable with that face-to-face just because they've done it less. And it's because they've had more access to technology and social media than we did when we were.
Oh, for sure.
And I hate to see that it has done that, but it has made the younger generation less and less able to talk to people face-to-face. Mm-hmm. And the only way that you can get better at that is just by doing it.
Oh, for sure.
Just not very comfortable to do it.
Yes. I think the internet is somewhat their confidence, right? Like, I think from TikTok to the dances and the skits and things that we see, I don't think younger me would have fully been able to jump out there and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it has created a confidence for them that we do have to reassure and back up with. That's awesome. Like, if you can do that online, you can do it on stage at a play. You can do this somewhere else. Like, there's so much potential to broaden your horizons.
Yeah, I agree completely. How can we really convince our kids who would completely disagree with us probably that it's important for them to be involved in activities that promote well-being and personal growth that is not technology related?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you get them to do it?
Honestly, transparency without judgment or without feeling like I'm condemning you for your technology use.
Right.
So a lot of teens, if you're like, you need to get off that phone, they're automatically defensive because we don't know what purpose it serves for them. So I think just really being transparent with, hey, I want you to have what your time that means, you know, the world to you. But what about this? What about that? Like, maybe even describing the benefits of network connections or just getting out, playing sports, getting fresh air, even screen time. A lot of times you really have to show them this is what it could cause. I'm not trying to take it away from you, but let's talk about this. What are some things that even maybe as parents or friends that we could do more of that'll help you branch out a little bit more?
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like what you said about we don't know what purpose it serves for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good point that I think I haven't really thought of, and most parents probably haven't really thought of.
Yeah.
Like, the relationship they have with it is really not one that we completely understand.
Yeah.
And so to just snatch it from under them is very offensive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think the why is very important.
Yes.
Even though they might not agree with you completely, if you can make them see the why and you know, the consequences.
There's a level,
like meet in the middle and talk it out. And I think that's super important.
Yes.
So I think it's important, too, for us to find a way to utilize technology as a tool for self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like a cause of stress.
Yes.
So what exactly is self-care? I mean, that is your field of expertise for sure, I think. Can you kind of elaborate on what self-care would look like?
I think self-care is anything that serves you mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, right? I think a lot of times when I was first introduced to self-care as a kid, it was like, so are we going to go to the park? Are we going to go to the spa? Like, just basic things of, if I can take this trip, I'll be okay. But a lot of times once you come back from vacation, you're still faced with everything you left when you went. So I think self-care is just, it's universal. It's holistic of what can I do from the inside out. So it could be, hey, if you limit your screen time, you'll have more energy. Your headaches may go away. The strain from your body may, you may feel more relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think self-care is really what's needed in the moment. And even allowing our teens to see that self-care could be, I don't know, like I opened a bank account and now I'm saving money. I'm conscientious about my future, or I'm eating healthier, traveling, all of these things, fostering in-person connections or even having conversations online. So I think self-care could be any of those things and any of those moments that serves that purpose, but just really defining, you know, healthy self-care versus negative coping skills.
Right. I agree. And yeah, I think self-care looks a little different for everybody. But I like what you said about opening the bank account and saving money, because while that might not feel like self-care to some teenagers, I mean, when you set goals and reach milestones and stuff like that, I mean, it's like a snowball effect. Yes. You just want to do more of that. You're you feel a sense of achievement mm-hmm. when you've made a goal, and then you're like, all right, let's set another one.
Yes.
Let's do another, or working out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I was able to do this in the gym today. Like, that was a yes. goal of mine. Now I'm going to set a new one.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that just feeds the mind and can be a form of self-care, too.
Definitely.
You know, having aspirations and things like that. I think self-care is super important, and being able to find self-care outside of technology, too.
Mm-hmm.
I've found in my own life,
yes,
a lot of times I don't want to go outside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't do well with the heat.
Same.
But a couple weeks ago, me and my two kids, we went outside and we all rode scooters together.
Oh,
for like an
yes.
hour. And I'm not going to lie to you, I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
It was really hot.
It's like 96
and
degrees.
And we went, and it was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and when we were done, I was so glad that we did that.
Yeah.
And I thought, we need to do this more.
Yeah.
You know, it's just little things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I've pretty much wrapped up all of our questions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything else you want to add to the listeners or tell the listeners before we wrap up?
Yeah, I think my biggest thing is just take care of yourself. And so we've been talking about self-care, but even for our teens, like, it's so vital, like you said, some things we might not know that contributes to adulthood of like, why am I opening a savings account, or why am I working out, why am I eating healthier? Just realizing, like, taking care of yourself, big picture style,
mm-hmm.
of how is this going to affect me longevity-wise, you know, as I continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just for families, even for parents, is allowing your teen to utilize their voice. Because
mm-hmm.
initially, I think that's what it is, right? Essentially, the internet gave our kids a space to be heard or to speak freely, when saying I no longer have to hold it in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think creating space, nurturing a space where the family in general can utilize their voice, and it's not detrimental, but instead it's healing, it's repair, really learning each other.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's wonderful information. Well, that brings us to the end of our enlightening discussion on digital detox and reclaiming our time in the digital age. We hope this episode has inspired you to reflect on your relationship with technology and empowered you to make positive changes in your digital habits. Remember, the power to reclaim our time and build healthy relationships with technology lies in our hands. Let's embrace the freedom to disconnect, to be present, and to nurture meaningful connections in our lives. We encourage you to take the first step towards a digital detox by setting realistic goals and implementing small changes in your daily routine. Remember, it's not about eliminating technology entirely, but about finding a healthy balance that aligns with your values and well-being. As always, we appreciate your support and engagement. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and share it with others who might benefit from our discussions. We value your feedback, so please leave us a review and let us know your thoughts. Stay connected with Centric on our website and at MyCentric on all social media platforms for more valuable resources, tips, and updates. We're here to support you on your journey towards digital well-being and a healthier, more fulfilling life. Until next time, remember to live intentionally, find balance, and embrace the joy of being present in the offline world. Thank you for tuning into the Live Better podcast by Centric Federal Credit Union.